The main text this morning will be in John 8, verses 31 through 59. But we also think ahead to Jesus' dialogue in the week before his death with his disciples. And he says to them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you do know him and have seen him." One of the other famous "I am" statements that Jesus said about himself. So going along with that, John 8, 31 through 59. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants, and we have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are looking for a way to kill me because you have no room for my word. I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you are doing what you have heard from your father." "Well, Abraham is our father," they answered. "If you were Abraham's children," Jesus said, "then you would do what Abraham did. As it is, you are looking for a way to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the works of your own father." "We are not illegitimate children," they protested. "The only father we have is God himself." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I have come here from God. I have not come on my own, but God sent me. Why is this not clear to you? It's because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth. There is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar. He is the father of lies. Yet, because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God." The Jews answered him, "Well, aren't we right in saying that you are a Samaritan and that you are possessed by a demon?" "I am not possessed by a demon," said Jesus. "I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. I am not seeking glory for myself, but there is one who seeks it. He is the judge. Very truly, I tell you, whoever obeys my word will never see death." At this, they exclaimed, "Now we know that you are possessed by a demon. Abraham died, and so did the prophets. Yet you say that whoever obeys your word will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died, and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are?" Jesus replied, "If I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I did not, I would be a liar, like you. But I do know him, and I obey his word. Your father, Abraham, rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad." "You are not yet 50 years old," they said to him, "and you have seen Abraham?" "Very truly, I tell you," Jesus answered, "before Abraham was born, I am." And at this, they picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. The word of the Lord. So today, the day we live in, I would say it's called a post-truth era. It's a post-truth day. Actually, back in 2016, the Oxford Dictionary made post-truth, the little hyphenated word, post-truth. That was the word of the year for the Oxford Dictionary. I didn't know that dictionaries did that. They have a word of the year. 2016, the word of the year was post-truth. That is the day we live in. It's a day where we see fake news popping up. And you know, that was something that came about. It was back in written text in the form of newspapers one day, but now it's on social media, and you know, different groups use it to get the clicks and get the money. People use it to smear other people. It's used in a tricky way, and it can be hard today to even know what is truth. There are different conspiracy theories floating out there. Just this week I saw a thing that said there's a group called the Flat Earth Society. People that believe that the earth is flat, and they're still trying to get that message out there. So many conspiracies, so much fake news. What is truth? How can we really trust anything that we read? What is truth? Truth is another thing that we see kind of popping up throughout John's gospel. As we've been walking through this and spending time, you could say, with the truth, with the word of God himself. Jesus doing his signs and wonders, revealing his glory and his identity to the people, to the Jews, but also to his disciples, and also to the other people. Jesus making different claims about himself, kind of uprooting or turning over the systems of the religion of Judaism. And here Jesus claiming to be the truth of God, the way, the truth, and the life, the only avenue through which one can come to know God. An exclusive claim, right? Which in our day of fake news and conspiracy and whatever you believe works for you, how is that heard today? How can we be messengers of God's word, of the gospel, even when it comes to saying that there is one way to know God, there is one way to salvation, and that is through Jesus, the Son of God? Even near the end of the Gospel of John, in the beginning actually, it says, the Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. In the beginning was the Word, and he has come and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory as from God the Father, full of grace and truth. Grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. And here in this extended dialogue that we spend some more time in today, the Jewish leaders are saying, who are you? Who is this guy? He's claiming to be like on the same level as Abraham. He's not even 50. He's probably not even 40. He probably looks kind of like this guy. This young man. Who does he think he is? And how dare he claim the name, the holy name, that they didn't even speak? Probably the most audacious claim of Jesus, referring to the eternal name of God, of Yahweh, saying, I am, before Abraham. I think we understand why they picked up stones to throw at him. They didn't care whether his hour had come or not. They were ready to kill him for his blasphemy. Who is this guy? And he's just witnessing to himself. This isn't true. And then at the end of the gospel, when it comes to the cross of Christ, we see in that day, we see Pilate up on his podium. And Jesus is before him and he says, I have come to witness to God. I have come to witness to the truth. And the famous line of Pilate that we see only here in John's gospel. What is truth? What is truth? And so it is, another theme that we trace through John. The truth of God. Truth as opposed to unbelief. I marked that even as we were singing today. It stuck out to me. Lord, let your words, let their truth prevail over unbelief. And even today, amidst all the lies and the unknowns out there, unbelief is something that the truth fights against. It is truth. What is truth? So we come to the text this morning. Jesus again speaking with the Jews. And we have hope here, maybe. He says that there are Jews that believed in him. Verse 31, to the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you truly are my disciples. It's not about the seed that you were born into. It's not about the line. We are Abraham's children. In that Jewish culture, they had so much, they put so much stake in their family tree, in their genealogy. It was very important in that culture. And they had so much faith in that. Jesus says, if the ones who really are my disciples are those who hold to my teaching, then you will know the truth, and this truth will set you free. We see here that even, we could say true discipleship or true following of Jesus, our own spiritual formation, it comes through the Word of God. It comes through holding to the truth of God. And this truth will set you free. We see that in our discipleship, in our following of Jesus, we have a freedom that nothing else can give us. But the problem here is the Jews, they did not realize what Jesus was talking about. He turns and uses an analogy. He says, very truly I say to you, whoever sins is a slave to sin. Jesus is speaking to them of being free. And they say, but we are Abraham's children. We've never been slaves. They don't pick up on his parable, if you will. We've never been slaves to anybody. They did not see their own slavery to sin. And that gives us a question. Do we see our own slavery to sin? Are we aware of our brokenness and how we need to be freed as well? Are we blind to that? Jesus comes in and says, whoever sins is a slave to sin. This could at least be talking about sinful addictions that we get messed up and get caught into, but it's also just the image of being burdened and serving someone other than God. In our sin, we are burdened serving someone else. It's almost like any kind of like a picture of idolatry. Being burdened and overworked. Serving something that doesn't really give life. Serving something that we think we'll find meaning in, but in the end, leaves us thirsty or hungry or tired or worn out. And Jesus, along with his other claims, says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. There's no way to freedom, no way to salvation, no way to God but through me. He continues the analogy. A slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. This is the truth of God. He says, whoever believes my words, mainly talking about his message of grace and truth coming from God. This is what we call this the gospel. It is the good news of God. Whoever believes in this will be free from sin. They fight back. They say, well, Abraham is our father. Again, they point to their genealogy. If you read the Old Testament, you read all these genealogies. Half of some of the books are just lines and lines and lines of family. And it's like kind of hard to read through that. But you speak to a believer from that culture, and that's kind of like a rich part of the Bible for them. There was so much worth in that. You read Matthew's rendition of the gospel. Matthew, someone who was a Jewish man, who really focused on the point that Jesus was the Messiah that Israel was longing for. And Matthew starts out his gospel with a long family tree leading from Abraham to Jesus. So here Jesus is talking to really his brothers, people from the same family line. And he says to them, if you believe my words, you are truly my disciples. Freedom really comes through the Son. I find it interesting that even as Jesus, who was a Jewish man, is talking to the other Jews, he says, he differentiates between my Father and your Father. Aren't we worshiping the same God here, they might say? And I think that brings up a good point, because today you might hear people ask that question. Well, aren't we worshiping the same God? We could even think about our Muslim neighbors. Islam and Judaism and Christianity, we're all the three monotheistic religions. We all worship the one God. What would you say to that? Jesus says to the Jews, your Father. Jesus speaks of his Father. I think of, I've recently actually had an encounter with the Muslim student advisor at Dartmouth, and we've become friends, and I'm really excited about just getting to talk with him. And I think we all have opportunities to talk to Muslims, and we have to view them as our neighbors. And we actually have more in common with them than we might realize. But I think a way to approach that conversation is, I think it's unhelpful to say, oh, you're worshiping the wrong God, but rather to say something like, getting to the place where you could say, let me show you how to worship God more fully through Jesus Christ. They believed that Jesus was a prophet, that he was born of a virgin. They get stuck on the idea that he was God in flesh, or that God became a man. And that's, you know, blasphemous to them. But, you know, we can have conversation with them, having reverence for God, having reverence for Jesus, and pointing them to worship God more fully by realizing Jesus' divinity and his power and his authority. Same with Jewish people today. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by him. Abraham is our father, they answered. We can prove it. He shows the family tree, and then Jesus goes into the apprenticeship language as we think about with discipleship. He says, if you were Abraham's children, you would do what he did. Again, referring to an apprentice or a son who follows in his father's footsteps. You'd be doing the same things he did. But what are you actually doing? You're seeking to kill me because of my words. You are not listening to my words. You are not listening to the truth. You're actually believing lies. And then he calls them out. You're doing the works your father did. The devil, who was a murderer, and the father of lies. They probably were reminded of even the story of the Garden of Eden, where the serpent shows up. What does God say? God says, you can eat of all the fruit of the garden except this one fruit. If you eat of it, you will surely die. That is God's word. I think that is truth. But then the serpent shows up and says, no, you can eat it. You'll be fine. You're not going to die. That's silly. That's bogus. One is a truth, one is a lie. He says the devil, when he lies, speaks out of his character. It just is natural. It just comes out of him. That's what he is. He is a liar. And he is full of untruth. And you're actually doing the works that he did. Murdering. Not holding to the truth. Because I tell you, I am the truth, you do not believe me. Why don't you believe me? It's because anyone who belongs to God hears what he says. Jesus ties all this together then by speaking of his word. There's a part where he says, "You have no room for my word. Very truly I tell you, whoever obeys my word will never see death." So we are invited here to hear the word of God. Even in this season of Lent, I think it's a good time for us to reflect on this question. Are we making room for the word of God? Are we listening to God's word? To know the word of God is to abide in him, as John will get to in a little bit. Jesus says, "Abide in me, and if my words abide in you, you will bear much fruit." What does it look like for us to make room for God's word in our lives? I think here's a point where we can glean from people who are spiritual advisors that encourage us in the spiritual disciplines. Maybe it's a matter of setting aside time in your day to read scripture, to meditate, to think on Jesus Christ, the Word of God, the eternal Word. He also speaks here of obeying the truth. There's a link, really, between hearing God's Word and obeying God's Word. Because have we really heard it if we don't follow it or believe it? And even knowing God and obeying him are intimately connected. And as Jesus says later in John, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also." And then he links it to prayer. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do." There's that apprenticeship language. "Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Jesus is inviting his disciples to see him as the Word of God, as the way, the truth, and the life. Amidst all the untruth and fake news and conspiracies that might have been floating around, Jesus has shown up on the scene and claims to be the Word of God. And so, for us also, we think about our own lives, how we've made room for the Word of God. Let us strive to make more room for his word. Let us strive to hear him and to abide in his word. And then even in that view of discipleship and following Jesus, may we then be led to do the works of our Father, or do the works that Jesus did. Jesus says, "Greater works than these will he do, the one who believes in him, because I am going to the Father." And so again, today we reflect on the Word of God, who today is ascended and reigning on his throne and doing work. And we can work and do greater works as we follow him and do the works he did. This is the truth that frees. So let us abide in the Word of God. Let us do the works that he has done. Amen.